Welcome to part two of the ePublish Yourself interview with Joanna Penn. In this segment, we talk about the genesis of her first novel, Pentecost, her career path, including a soul-destroying stretch in the IT sector, and her tips on public speaking for authors. Relax and enjoy the conversation. Speaking of the genres, I don't know, when you mentioned that, it popped into mind another author I admire, Diana Gabaldon.
I love her.
Outlander, I think they call it in the US.
Yeah.
And she also started out way back when the internet was new and did blogging on CompuServe and built up an audience that way, which sounds like it's kind of what you did with your blogging as you were writing Pentecost, which is a nice way, I guess, to get sort of a pre-built audience.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite a funny story because I never thought I would write fiction. I actually saw myself, and when I started the Creative Pen, I saw myself as making a living as a blogger. So, you know, following the model of, you know, some of the big blogging names out there who make money through selling courses and webinars and that type of thing. You know, I started blogging about the mistakes I'd made with self-publishing nonfiction because I wanted to be like a self-help kind of guru, like Tony Robbins. I wanted to be the British Tony Robbins, although I'm an introvert, I could never be quite as on stage as him. But so I was writing, you know, I was blogging about the lessons I learned with nonfiction, and I kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I've said a lot of what I want to say about this. You know, what can I blog about next? I need to make, you know, improve my writing, and posts about writing are popular. So it was NaNoWriMo was coming up, which is National Novel Writing Month, which is November. And this was, must have been 2009 or 8, I can't quite remember. No, must have been 2009. And I basically thought, well, I think I'll just do NaNoWriMo because, you know, why not give it a go? And I will blog and do videos of what I learn along the way, because I thought that might be a nice thing to do. And to my surprise, I came up with the seed of an idea, and I managed 20,000 words that month, and that turned into Pentecost. It was originally called Mandala, around Carl Jung's Red Book had just come out, which is his personal, you know, diary of his sort of breakdown, and that affected me a lot. Being a sort of having studied Jungian psychology, and so I was very keen to put that in the book. And all these kind of things happened that made the idea work. And yeah, it took about 14 months, that first book, to go from that NaNoWriMo to the finished book published. And at that point, I was like, this is really fun. I think I'm going to write fiction and not look back, really.
Well, work should be fun, definitely. And it sounds like you weren't having much fun as a cubicle rat working for the IT folks.
Well, it's funny because it's a different kind of fun. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is everything I did as an IT consultant, and I worked for big companies like Accenture and IBM and Capgemini, and, you know, in large corporates, mining industry and all kinds of industries. And everything I did disappeared very quickly because the nature of IT means you're always doing another project to overwrite what was done before.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, all I'm doing every day is living for a paycheck, and the paycheck pays for things. And, you know, one of the positives is a very highly paid job, which was fantastic. So I did a lot of traveling and had a lot of adventures, but the work itself was kind of soul destroying and wasn't creative at all. So, you know, when I tried a lot of different businesses along the way. I ran a scuba diving business in New Zealand, and I did property investment, and I did a sort of travel blog thing, and none of those worked. So that's when I got into the kind of blogging and looking at an online business in order to be location independent, which is my sort of life goal, and am right now, in fact, location independent. We don't own anything. Everything is rented except my laptop. So I love living this way. But it was funny because, you know, the job was brilliant, and many people would consider it, you know, to be like a dream job. But as I think we're seeing in the sort of zeitgeist now, as people are opting out of cubicle slavery, and a lot of people are starting their own businesses. So yeah, it was my kind of journey.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, I've been working in high tech for many, many years and writing trade computer books, and I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's kind of soul-deadening work, and you write a trade computer book, and 18 months later,
It's obsolete.
it's gone. So, I mean, it's all pointless kind of stuff. But you
Yeah.
mentioned the long tail, I think, in your How to Market a Book. And the idea that because you don't have shelf space to worry about in bookstores, you can have books out there circulating for many, many, many years and building up audiences that way too.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess, and what you were just saying about the non-fiction, becoming obsolete in terms of, going out of date, and that How to Market a Book, I'll probably have to update that, next year.
Right.
And that was another big realization that came to me was, fiction doesn't age. So yes, I can sell Pentecost, which I actually rewrote last year as well, to make it a bit, improve the original version. So essentially, I can sell that and all of my other fiction for the rest of my life, and 70 years after I die, my estate can sell it,
Right.
and it doesn't have to be rewritten. Whereas pretty much all the non-fiction, there's very few non-fiction books that do stand the test of time. I mean, there are some, How to Make Friends and Influence People and stuff like that, that is more relationship based. But anything that remotely mentions the internet or
Right.
anything technical, is going to go out of date. So yeah, in terms of the long tail, both a kind of long term, prospect, but also, individual books. So for non-fiction authors, my massive biggest recommendation is don't decide on a book title based on some emotional decision. Decide on a book title based on your keyword research that you do on Amazon. So if you go onto Amazon and type in the search box something like how to market, it will actually then give you a drop down of the top things that people search for according to those search terms. So that's why my nonfiction is called really boring names like How to Market a Book, because that sells. And my book Career Change was originally called How to Enjoy Your Job or Get a New One, but when I rebranded it as Career Change and actually rewrote it as well to add in, this kind of new entrepreneurial life, it sells a hell of a lot better. So that's
Right.
my top tip for nonfiction authors on the long tail.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. You describe yourself as an introvert, or you just did a few minutes ago. You were talking as if you were an introvert, but yet to me, watching your video podcasts and listening to your podcasts and even talking with you don't seem like an introvert. Is it something you've overcome just because of the nature of building this career? Or I know you have a new book out on along the line of this topic, true?
Yeah, so the book is called Public Speaking for Authors, Creatives, and Other Introverts. And I'm an introvert. I'm not shy. So there's a scale of introvert, extrovert, and a scale of shy and not shy. And I am a not shy introvert. And
Oh.
to me, yeah, introversion, according to the definition by the psychologist, is pretty much somebody who gets their energy from being alone. Whereas extroverts get their energy from other people. So it doesn't mean I'm a complete hermit, although writing suits me very well. It's just that if I'm at a conference or, if there are too many people around or a party or whatever, I would much rather be on my own or reading a book or, that type of thing. So I'm not shy in talking to people, but I'd probably rather be alone somewhere reading, which is why writing suits me very well. And so I think that the public speaking book was really that I speak to a lot of authors, and I do a lot of I'm a professional speaker, so I'm paid to speak these days. And I get so many people saying this to me. It's like, oh, you're an extrovert, you can do all this stuff. And it's like, actually, everything I do online, so you mentioned my podcast, I mean, discussions like this, interviews and doing my podcast, I still get you know, my heart is still pounding before we get on the phone because I'm nervous about speaking with other people. And I'm nervous before I go on stage. And, you know, we all have nerves, but nerves, you know, are reframed. But then everything else I do, blogging and podcasting and, you know, video and Twitter, I'm on my own. So actually, internet marketing in the way that I do it is incredibly good for introverts because you get to engage when you want to on your own terms and do things according to your energy flows, which is brilliant.
It is, yeah. Have you kind of evolved over time to become more relaxed, going in front of a crowd?
I don't think so.
No.
I get very nervous. I don't like the word nervous. I mean, it's an adrenaline kind of rush and, you know, all of the heartbeat and the sweating and everything. But, you know, I try and frame it as this is the energy I need to be, you know, to speak or to connect, or I need this little bit of an edge, you know, it gives you that edge that you don't normally have. So I kind of think of it as that energy that you need to be in that situation. But also I think it's like anything, you have to decide what the benefits are versus, you know, the other side of things versus the pain. And I know that when I start speaking within about a minute, I'm fine. You know, as soon as we say hi on the phone, I'm fine. You know, no one's going to hurt me, or actually nobody's going to hurt me. And it's kind of the worst I can do is make a fool of myself, and that's not the end of the world. And if I don't do that, I mean, what I discovered with my first book when I self-published back in 2008 was there is absolutely no point in publishing a book or having a book published if nobody knows who you are, because nobody will buy that book, as I learned to my distress when I had 2,000 books printed and, you know, sold about 100 of them to people I knew. You know, unless you do something to get people's attention in the world, you know, you're going to struggle to make an income. And if your goal is to replace your job with writing, as mine was, you know, you have to look at multiple streams of income. So for me, professional speaking is an income stream. I also really enjoy it because it offsets my hermit tendencies. You know, this sort of the writing alone at my desk for hours and hours and hours. Sometimes it's good to get out and actually be with people before I turn into a mad recluse. So yeah, I think it's about assessing the pros and the cons. But I certainly think, I mean, and, you know, one of my, well, my primary marketing tactic is to be useful and, you know, try and help people with stuff. And, you know, because I don't like to push sales type of messages. So when I speak, I aim at pleasing the audience, and then some of them might buy my books. You never know.
Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us for the next interview in this ongoing series.